Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hey, I'm Dennis. I've been in mushrooms all my life, and today I run a mushroom company. We run a fungi boutique, which celebrates the power of mushrooms, and we explore all the magic that comes out of the kingdom to see how we can make our communities and our world around us better. And so our focus is to educate people through food on all things mushrooms.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
I was doing a lot of retail, working with giants in the grocery space, both on the Canadian and American side of the border. And so as I was, in stores, a lot of stores in Whole Foods Market around Michigan, all the way out to Chicago and rest, I'd be cooking in stores and I'd be talking to people about mushrooms all the time. And so every week I would spend four days a week just cooking with people and chatting with them, why they select certain foods. Why do moms with two screaming kids grab all that microwavable food? What are the reasons behind all those choices? And then again, what are the reasons for walking into a grocery store, right? And then I found out that more than 50% of people that walk through the grocery, that walk into a grocery store, that decide I'm going to go to a Myers or Kroger or whatever else, they don't know what they're cooking for dinner that night. So if you're good enough to have a conversation with them, to listen to them, they will share the world with you, right? Some people just, finished work and are looking for new conversations to challenge. And then others are having screaming kids that, while I'm feeding the kids, we're having a quality conversation in regards to why do they choose microwavable food over fresh mushrooms, for example. And so the more that I talk with people, the more I was on the understanding of how much, number one, people valued mushrooms, how much wanted to explore further with mushrooms but didn't have an opportunity to the point where I actually sat down and sent an email to one of the top guys in Whole Foods and saying, hey guys, I think there should be a mushroom hub in every Whole Foods across the country. And a number of years later down the line, I opened up my own mushroom hub because of that necessity. I found that I believe that in the near future, the grocery stores that are thinking in the future are going to now claim there will be, whether it's Kroger, Walmart, Whole Foods, or whichever other one out there, will have an actual aisle in the grocery store, which will be designated for all things fungi, right? Whether it's fresh mushrooms, dried mushrooms, marinated mushrooms, pickled mushrooms, you name it, right? And so when you have this one ingredient with so much power, you got to put a spotlight on it. So it's not a greeny leaf. It's not an onion. It's not, it's the one ingredient that we have the most in common with. And so I believe that required a spotlight such as, so when people walk in the store and say, wait, all you do is mushrooms? It's like, yeah, that's all we do. And then, an opportunity occurs, right?
Right. So as of now, you guys have like a physical store location, correct?
Yeah, so we have two locations. We have two locations, one in Windsor, Ontario, and one in Detroit, Michigan. And so our focus is to now standardize the menu between the two and then look forward to expanding further within the region.
So are you planning on, or do you have like products as well to sell to grocery, or is it more of just like focus on selling products in your location or e-commerce? I guess, like, what are you really focused on in 2024?
We're focused on feeding people really good ingredients. We want, I want people to go to bed knowing that what they ingested and what they took the pride in consuming that day came from us, and that we are proud of the fact that when they do go to bed, they're better for it, right? And so I don't anticipate going national grocers for, X amount of time. However, the more locations that we have, the more consistent and more accessible our menu is, I'm planning on taking top three of our products potentially and saying, okay, this product is really killing it in our store, and it's killing it also in all of our, you know, partnership stores where we can piggyback off of, you know, empty grocery shelves that we can sort of tap into, right? And that's mom and pop shops, primarily convenience stores. Some, you know, our products are really good. Our frozen line of fungi based powered by plants is great in a setting where there's a lot of industrial areas, and it's, you know, like a 7-Eleven. And so you go into 7-Eleven, you have their standard 7-Eleven food. Well, if 7-Eleven is allowing you to explore about 10% of local items in the area, well, why not put our soups, wild mushroom soup in there, where they can pull it out, flip the lid, plug it into a microwave, and all of a sudden they got this high nutrient dense food that is vegan, that is gluten free, that is plant based. It's fungi based, right? So it's fungi based, powered by plants. So all of our, you know, we mimic a desired number of foods which are popular: the chili, the bolognese, the lobster bisque, all based on mushrooms that have the taste and texture and profile that you would do from eating the conventional style of foods.
For sure. So, but if somebody lives like in a different state, like I do in Texas, could they buy your products online? Or I guess like, what does that look like?
Not at the moment. No. And I don't think my product should be in Dallas unless there's a mushroom hub in Dallas, you know, right. And that's to save the integrity of the quality of the product. You know, we are, you know, the whole concept would, you know, I always wanted to grow the model into, you know, a dozen stores and prove the model in a vertically integrated circular economy basis, and then take that same model and then plug it in different areas of the country. Because the idea is not just to start the next McDonald's of mushrooms. The idea is that we are educating people so that the next generations can entice themselves into the wonders of mushrooms. And hopefully somewhere out there, there'll be a genius who will take a fraction of what we give them and glorify it into such an industry that will save our planet, right? So whether it's through food as an ingredient, you know, as alternative proteins, alternative meats, or whether it's, you know, looking at some of the samples that we have from EcoVay to mushroom packaging, where they say, oh my God, look, I'm holding a 100% biodegradable product in my hand, and it came from fungi, you know? So it's like, we want people to not only be amazed through the taste profiles, we want people to understand that that our world is intertwined in fungi, you know? So we have a lot of, you know, I feel at times I feel like one of those priests, you know, who says, you know, I converted a religious person, or I converted a non-believer. And that's exactly what it is. You know, you have people walking through the door and there's like 5-6 of them. And then one of them is like, I hate mushrooms, you know? And I'd be like, oh, I'd like to talk with you, right? And then when you dive into the realm of, well, why do you hate mushrooms? Well, you know, my aunt was sticking them in everything, and, you know, I didn't appreciate it. And, you know, there's so many different components, but I would say, you know, it's okay to not like something, but to hate something is a very strong emotional attachment, right? And so for me, right, it's like, well, you don't have to love mushrooms, but you must respect mushrooms, because you may hate the texture of a white button cremini, portabella, oyster, shiitake, whatever mushroom you're going to go down into the realm of, but you must respect the fact that, you know, you're enjoying wine, mushrooms, you're enjoying beer, mushrooms, you're enjoying bread, mushrooms. But there's so many on the medical side of things, there's so many things that are happening, from penicillin to the fact that there's a mushroom that helps our body not reject a new organ within, that stems from fungi, right? And so when you see how intertwined our world is with this one concept, within this one kingdom, the conversation is so much deeper than, hey, do you like this? You know, so I'm hoping that that's where that, you know, that we're a spark of somebody's imagination or somebody else's curiosity. And we hope to do that with the way that we talk to people, to the way that we present certain aspects of fungi to them.
That's amazing. So in terms of like getting the word out locally, so have you done like PR or advertisements? Like, what have you done to get people in the stores?
We made people feel good, you know, and that was it. You know, when I look at my business and where we've come, and to say that, you know, I've spent $0 on ads, I've spent obviously on branding and marketing. That's as any company, because we are building something of value that I want people to be able to recognize and grab a hold of. But 100% of my clientele is neighbor, neighbor's neighbor, neighbor's cousin, neighbor's, you know, brother-in-law, son-in-law, you know, and then we realm into the second generation out of European backgrounds or Asian backgrounds, you know, so it's more of a community that is within our society that it's like a grassroots movement of good feeling, good food, right? And so whenever there's good food, there's good conversation, and whenever there's good food and good conversation, miracles happen, right? And so that's sort of where that enticing component is. So did I want to go out there? Like, we have a great chaga tea, you know, that we make in-house. Two ingredients: spring water, chaga, that's it, right? And thyme, sorry, three ingredients, thyme is the third one. And so when people drink this product, I can mass market that product, no problem, easily potentially doable. But that's not the point. You know, the point is how can I grab somebody's hand and really cherish that hand and that communication, that contact, and let that vibration and that energy transpire to more hands that are reachable in that essence. Because, you know, I always look at it, you know, when it comes to investment of technology and where our whole world is, you know, I always look at, well, this is all great, but what if this whole scary scenario, if, let's say, you know, the there's no more electricity, you know, or there's no more X, you know, well, then what did you achieve? You didn't achieve anything. You didn't inspire anybody locally. You didn't change your local community. You didn't feed anybody locally. You didn't feed the needy in your community, right? It's like that component of where people in your community, where people in community, and we have thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who rather click a button and save a child in Africa. But when you tell them that same child exists, you know, 12 miles away from you, oh, well, hold on, that's not my problem. But for 99 cents a day, I will help an African starving child, right? So it's like, okay. I really want to have a community that, you know, when we do events, people show up, and it's people show up in drones because of the way that we do things. And then, you know, Christmas time, we haven't done in last Christmas, but, you know, things that we do is we partner with local food partners and other partners that care about the community, and we built, like, so for example, during COVID in 2020 December, you know, everybody's up in the wounds, what's going on, etc. We managed to, during COVID in 2020 December 25th, I found out how many people were starving during that period, that I just went online and posted on our social media, and suddenly we collected close to $3,000. We made 770 liters of soup. That's, you know, that's, what is that, 100, what would that be, 150 gallons, 100, 200, close, wow, to 200 gallons of soup that we, mm-hmm, made, that we donated, from people that worked as first responders to the people that were on the corner of the street trying to get warm. You know, like, that to me is important, because that automatically allows us to do something of value within that energy beam within the country. So we're not a marketing company, although I consider us the marketing company of Fungi. We're not a marketing company, as so many are out there, where I'm buying a product from an X person and then taking it into my kitchen, making a new product, and then launching it, right? There's so many out there that are doing that, but that's a short-term run for me. I'm interested in the next 30 years of what mushrooms are going to do for my community and the global concept of what we're trying to achieve.
For sure. So how do you focus and measure customer lifetime value? Like, if somebody comes and wants, like, re-engaging them to come back for more food?
Just listening. You know, listening is such an undervalued part of a sales job and a marketer job. You know, I tell my team always, it's like, don't, when they walk in, acknowledge them and listen. Like, there's no reason to say, hey, try this, we just got this thing in. No, you're automatically forcing a conversation. And we're not that kind of a store. You're not working on commission. You're working on emotion, right? And so if a person comes in and says, you know what, I'm not sleeping well, what do you suggest? You know what? Reishi, people have a great response to Reishi. People have a great response to lion's mane. We do have this tea. It's not it's a natural tea, but it's not so we promote, like, raw tea. So if you want to drink chaga tea, there are products out there on the market that will get you to drink chaga tea. But I will teach you how to take raw chaga and make the tea. I want you to spend the 5 hours in your kitchen to do that ceremonial run, because once I teach you once, you're off to your own fishing game. I don't have to teach you to fish anymore. But if you're looking for that high quality product that you're going to utilize, you're going to come back for the rod, which is me, for that wild mushroom that, you know, some of the foragers that I work with, I've worked with over a decade. Some people that buy mushrooms from me today have been buying mushrooms from me close to 15 years, you know, and it's, you know, we're people in business. We're not business people in business. We're people in business. And so the idea is, how do we make our community better than we found it? And I find that mushrooms are the, you know, the core root of how we make everything around us better.
For sure. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you face in your business right now?
It's not a challenge. It's more of the re-education, right? Mushrooms are hip. They're hype. Everybody's jumping in on the game. That's great. You know, I don't believe in mushroom competition because I don't believe we grow enough mushrooms globally in regards to how many mushrooms I believe we should be consuming. I believe they should be added. A different variety should be added to every meal that you have every single day. So if you're eating three times a day, two times a day, one times a day, you're going to consume one, two, three varieties per day, 7 days a week. So if you walk into our store, you know, you'll have up to 55 varieties of dried and fresh mushrooms combined. You know, it gives you an opportunity to eat a different mushroom with every meal going forward. And each mushroom gives you a benefit, right? And so nowadays, especially during COVID, when everybody was stuck in their homes, everybody and anybody got into mushrooms is like, I'm going to grow mushrooms. I'm going to do this. Great. Amazing. Not enough people grow mushrooms, but let's do it right. Let's educate people on what is right of growing mushrooms. There's company now, they're promoting grow your mushrooms at home. Not a single one of them that, and now there's like, you know, 5-6 years ago. So now 7 years ago, there was one or two companies on Amazon selling grow home kits at home, right? Nobody's talking about the amount, the billions of spores that come off those mushrooms if you do not pick them in time, about not having the right environment to receive the desired goals. So when I see a family walk into my store and tell me, oh yeah, I got a grow block from a farmer just down the street from you, you know, a couple of blocks away, and you know, we're growing, and she's holding a baby that's 9 months old. And I said, so where are you keeping this block of oyster mushrooms that you were growing in your home with a brand new baby that came to earth, right? Where are you keeping it? Oh, we're keeping it in our kitchen. And so she showed me pictures. And I was like, okay, the moment you get home, remove that from your kitchen. You do not want your kid's baby developing lungs. We wear masks, professional 3M masks when we're in an environment, growing environment in mushrooms. And now all these guys who want to make a quick buck are selling hundreds of them online to families across, where there's kids walking around, children playing around, dogs, cats, other pets, right? When you do not follow the rules correctly, it can kill you. There are, like, you do this consistently over a span of time, it can kill you, especially if you're prone to asthma and other respiratory components, right? So that's the stuff that really bothers me, because it's easy to educate people, in my opinion, because it all requires is patience, right? Patience and due diligence is what gives you longevity in educating an individual. But when you have to re-educate an individual that was hurt by some other mushroom farmer, or any other farmer for that matter, within any other industry, we're obviously talking mushrooms, that's when you now have to tell that person, like the people that were in their, you know, teens being shoved, you know, pickled mushrooms into their throats by family members, same component. Now I got to re-educate that person, say, well, hold on, not all mushrooms are the same. Every mushroom has a different texture profile and taste profile, etc. So that effort and that will to change that person's mind is double, triple, quadruple, depending on how stubborn that person is, right? And so it's like, well, hold on a second. You know, I would rather anybody coming into the industry say, hey, I don't know. You know how many times? I'm 41 years old. I've been in industry all my life. I grew up on mushroom farms in Europe, in China, in Vietnam, and then North America, you know. So I live in, I dedicated my life to mushrooms, and not because choice, but because mushrooms shown me the way. And so when I see that, you know, along the way, and I sit back and I remember, oh my God, how many times I said, I don't know. And I would go to a valued person who's in the industry for X amount of time and say, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? Can you show me the way? What should I do? But all these newbies, they go on YouTube, they find one thing and they stick to it, and they're like, I know everything. And you're like, okay, man. Okay, since you know everything, you know, cool. And then I have to go to a farmer's market where somebody approached me and said, yeah, I bought mushrooms and this is what happened. I was like, so why didn't you tell the person? I was like, well, we did, but they're not getting back to me. I was like, okay, so there's a reason why you have the problem. So it's that's my biggest challenge, is the re-education of people. And I guess I could talk about this for a long time because it does bother the crowd. I don't like when people who are trying to give a chance to something new are being taken advantage of. And I find that when you're giving somebody a product, that you're not educating them on the potential harms of that product, especially when that product, when you handle it, is so good for you, you know? But if you don't handle it right, it can be bad for you.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024, many companies are looking for the best use case for things like AI. So do you guys use AI in your business? And if not, like, where do you think the AI can maybe like come in and help you guys out?
That's a great point. But a book was recently pulled from Amazon, and AI, somebody utilized AI and published a book on foraging mushrooms. And, you know, there's an old Chinese proverb that says all mushrooms are edible, some only once. And that pertains to the fact that some mushrooms can kill you within ingestion of, you know, 3 to 7 days. And I mean, it will kill you, that you will remember every single moment of that day before you leave the planet. And so, especially like during COVID, everybody went into the, you know, everybody was stuck in their homes. So everybody went into the wild, right? And so a lot of people we're looking for psychedelic mushrooms in the forests of North America, and there are lots of them out there, but they mistook it for a different mushroom, a little brown mushroom, which was actually toxic or even as far as deadly. And so the spike of poison control in the country tripled. And just recently, about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, when this whole ChatGPT got announced, somebody, you know, dwell down the rabbit hole, got AI to publish this book through Canva, I guess. And it turned out that it was talking about specific types of mushrooms in a completely inaccurate way, that it could potentially have caused harm, right? And so where AI comes in is with a lot of, you know, you can do it on the wild mushroom side. Can you do it on growing mushrooms? Yeah, I think you could. I think you could train an AI in the perspective of a futuristic grow mushroom, like a grow mushroom environment component potentially, you know. But, you know, I talk about food safety a lot because food safety is a big part of our business, you know, is that I was doing, for example, I was working with an individual, and, you know, he was asking for consulting advice on food safety and traceability and, you know, critical control points and et cetera. And so he's like, oh yeah. And he's like, I got the program from, and so I'm giving him advice, and he's like, yeah, I got the scoop down from ChatGPT. I was like, okay, good. So use it. But that ChatGPT, that AI, can never go to a farm and smell it, can never go to a farm and see something unless you have an AI, you know, one of those, is it Optimus, the new one from Apple,
Like the glasses.
So, yeah. So unless it's got a 360 view, that's like 360 view, and you're programming to look at critical control points at processing facilities for food, I would still want a person to go behind and say, okay, really, you know, smell it, touch it, feel it, you know, does it make sense, et cetera. I think AI could do 95% of the work, but that 5% always has to be done by a professional individual who knows exactly what they're looking for, right? And so is it possible? Is it down our realm where it's 100%? I'm not on top of it as I...
Well, what about maybe like AI, like if a customer has questions about your products, like on your website, maybe something like that?
You know what? I don't know. I guess I'm a traditionalist. You know, I like people... You know, I like people. There's so many people unemployed. This is the part about the country that I don't understand, right? So many unemployed people in the country. So many technologies out there. So all these unemployed people can sit at home and do call. They can answer your phone calls for all these companies. Instead, we're getting, you know, people from Malaysia, from Indonesia, from Vietnam, from China are answering our phone calls, and Turkey and the rest of the world, right? And I'm like, well, why can't an American who went to an American school you know, that knows the language, that can communicate easily without a barrier. And I mean, I'm an immigrant, right? So I'm not, there's nothing wrong with a global economy component, but there is wrong when your neighbors are don't have a job and you don't want to train the neighbor just because the neighbor, you got to pay $5 more per hour, right? Where AI comes in, I've utilized some of the companies that I'm working with have done AI. And it's just, sometimes I feel like it's a three, like you're constantly going in a roundabout until the point where I'll give it a minute. I'll give it two. If I've got more time, I'll give it a little bit more, but usually I say, speak to an agent or, you know, agent. Right. And then you're hoping that you're getting to the other line. Again, I'm not fluent in AI or the technologies out there that I can now claim 100% I'm right. I could be proven wrong for sure. But when certain clients who have been working with me for X amount of time, I don't want Juliet to answer an AI call. I don't want, you know, from Kristen and the rest of it. They want to hear my voice, you know, however right. challenging that may be in growing your business. Right. But there's a thing there. I don't know how to, it's a finesse, I guess, of the kind of business that we're trying to achieve. And again, you know, I'm sure there's industries out there that are killing it with AI and customer support.
Right, right. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Oh, no. I would have started it no matter. I mean, the troubles are regular, you know, like when you're trying to do something good, you're always going to have mishaps. You're always going to have blocks. So there's always going to be some wall somewhere that something's going to build, whether it's, you know, forces of nature trying to prove how vigilant you are towards your passion and such, you know, to me, there's no no's. There's a yes always somewhere there. And you're going to approach 100 no's, but eventually you're going to get to that yes. The key is to keep that, you know, inner courage alive and never allow the light to diminish, right? There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be things that are, you know, so that sort of thing, you know, the biggest challenge is, I guess the biggest challenge is don't listen to people, you know, maybe, you know what they say is like, why would you ask if you have a problem with your car, why would you go to a doctor and ask for advice, right? It's like, you want to go to somebody that's gone through that. You want to go to a mechanic and ask for advice, right? And so we live in a world where everybody out there has a solution for everything, right? It's like, they're talking about, like, I get bombarded. I would say on LinkedIn, just in the last week alone, we've got, you know, 5-6 people offering me services of certain things. And I was like, I think it's all AI. I think, right. Am I wrong? It could be, right.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be virtual assistants. Yeah. I mean, but I do see lots of AI messages where it's like people, you could just tell, it's like, I hope this finds you well. It's like, nobody talks like that. You know?
Yeah. I'm open to being better. I'm not the best at everything that I do. I know there are things that I can do better and I want help.
Right, right.
But it's just that sometimes I can't handle that help at a certain point in time, because when you're running your business, there are certain things that you got to take care of X before you can focus on, you know, YZ kind of thing. Right. And so those are the kind of things where it's like, it gets challenging to process it all, you know, what is real and what is not, and what's actually going to help you. You know, I've had a client who come through me and like, she sent me 6 months ago, I took down the website. Okay. We were going some changes. We were getting out of our one warehouse, going into a new warehouse. So I purposely do something for the company. This person sends me an email, maybe 3 pages if I copy and pasted it, how she went in detail through my website. And this is the things that she found. And I respond back and I was like, my website has been down 3 weeks. So what exactly did you analyze? No, because now you're telling me something that I know for a fact is not true. I was like, why didn't you just tell me, hey, Dennis, do you have problems with websites? You know what? Maybe I do in the future. Let's talk in 3 months, 2 months, 1 week, 3 weeks. I'm not opposed to help, and I'm not opposed to helping for help. And maybe that's the challenge of today's time in opening up a business, is be very, you know, be cautious, you know, in regards to saying yes to You got to be able to devote the time to that diligent problem so that you're saying, okay, the value that you provide to me is worthy of the time that you're investing and I'm receiving, right? Because what's the point of a relationship if it's not 50-50, right? It has to be 50-50. Everybody's got to make money. You got rent. I got rent. You know, it's how do we come together and make something of value that can make it better? Right. And maybe you're going to learn something from my business, just like I'm going to learn from your business. Right.
Right.
It's all different applications, but it's like, I find that today with anybody when starts business and when I share their, oh, we're starting this process, people are automatically like, I think this is better for you. I was like, but you don't even know my process.
Right.
And I'm not saying it is better. Right.
Right. Like, right. So, exactly. Yeah. Well, so I guess one last thing. So like, if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Oh, I'm for 24. Last 6 months have been quite, we went through a little bit of a roller coaster ride. And so now that I've experienced that, it's the most valuable lessons that I could have received in the last 6 months. And so what is going to happen for the rest of 2024 is I'm pulling the reins on certain things that we're doing within the company. And I'm only focusing on three core metrics of what we are best at. And so the idea is to stabilize that, grow that component to the level of where we were at already. And before we then look at, okay, we're going to expand into one or two or three more stores based on our footprint.
Awesome. So Dennis, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact with you.
We have our Instagram page, The Mushroom Hub. TheMushroomHub.com is currently just a standing page, which will be developed into a website in the coming few weeks now that we've finalized this warehouse component. So it would be TheMushroomHub.com, The Mushroom Hub tags online, and then also we're quite local on LinkedIn. Me personally, Dennis Vidmar, Dennis with one N, and then also all the professional pages as well. But, you know, I welcome everybody and anybody to contact me if you want to chat mushrooms and if you want to dive into the world of mushrooms. And if you don't know what you're doing with your life today and you want to jump on the hop train of mushrooms, let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. Let me help in any way, shape, or form that we can get as many mushrooms out there in the market as possible.
Awesome. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for your time today.
Dan, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks. All right. Bye.